It took a long time for the real estate market to rebound from recession. That's no big surprise. Real estate played a major part in the economy tanking in the first place. And as jobs and income came back, the ability to buy homes and sell them at a profit came back slower. 2014 appears to have been a very good year for the home sales business in a number of areas, the Rogue Valley among them. With some facts and figures at hand, we've invited in Claudette Moore, a real estate broker with Coldwell Banker Pro West in Medford, to join us once again. Claudette, welcome back to The Exchange.
Thanks, Jeffrey. Good to be here.
What's the overall, first of all, let's get the backstory here. I mean, how long a slog has this been for realtors and brokers in the Rogue Valley?
It's been quite a while. I can remember hearing on the news the recession was over and going, it's not over here in the Rogue Valley. So it took a while because we had such a huge glut of short sales, which are and repossessions on the market. The short sales is where a person is upside down in what they owe on the house, and they're selling it. Their bank is agreeing to take less money for it so the people can walk away. Good news about the short sales or even a foreclosure on your home is that those people, I've had several previous clients that are rebuying. You're able to rebuy in 3 to 4 years, depending on whether it was a short sale or a foreclosure, and of course, if your credit's recovered. So that's the good news, because for a lot of really, really great people, you know, the job issues, the recession just hurt so many people. It was sad. Went through a lot of Kleenex at work.
No doubt. And so, I mean, how far did the market drop just in terms of numbers of homes getting sold?
The value of the houses went down a good 20 to 25%.
All right, so value alone by that much.
Value alone, a lot.
Wow.
Yeah. And then we had a huge glut of inventory on the market with the bank-owned properties. And the problem on getting those sold and the short sales was that it was a whole new ballgame for everybody, for the real estate agents, for the banks, for the people they hired at the banks, trying to figure out how to make all this work. The banks were peddling as fast as they could to put new rules in, how to do this, what they'll take, what they won't take, et cetera, et cetera. Very frustrating for all parties involved. So that's why the short sales a lot of times would take anywhere from 4 or 5 months up to a year to get through, to get a bank approval that they would take a certain amount of money for the house.
Is that a negotiation, or was it simply a piece of paper the bank would say, you know, based on this price, we will take this amount?
Every bank was different. And every negotiator was different. At that point in time, when we were working with those in the beginning, it was just crazy. Frustrating.
So the news in the economy in general as 2014 wore on, particularly with the fourth quarter, because it was the fourth quarter figures on the economy total that showed a better growth rate than a lot of people had expected. And then further revision back into the year indicated that things really did begin to pick up. It looked like about the third quarter of the year. How did real estate do in that same general realm looking around the Rogue Valley?
It's doing well. It's at a normal pace. It's not crazy, crazy, crazy like it was in 2004, 5, and 6, where, you know, you'd put something on the market, there would be multiple offers, they would take it, the appraisals would come in, and prices were just going nuts. This past year, we saw overall for the Rogue Valley an 8% increase in home values. I've taken a lot of classes on, especially during the recession. We had lots of time to take a lot of classes. Sorry.
Well, true, though.
We have to learn how to do this job again after 23 years. Anyway, if you look overall historically, like take the last 25 years in home prices and values, you'll see an average of 5% increase per year, 5 to 6%. It's a national average. It's held true in the Rogue Valley. We had some spikes where prices went up 20, 25%, but then they dropped 20%, so or more. And now they're coming back to some normal, nice, healthy increases. We were talking earlier about how much interest you make on a savings account, and it's something like under a percent. Real estate values are still going to constantly be, they're solid. They don't go away. You'll see nice, steady increases in your property values. And of course, if you improve them and, you know, put that sweat equity into it and make improvements, your values are going to go up also.
The values go up in part, though, I think, because people do make offers that are close to what the asking price is. Now, back in what you call the crazy, crazy, crazy days of 04, 05, with the multiple offers, were people generally getting as much, if not more, than what they were asking for their homes?
They would get more a lot of times than what they were asking for. Where normally in a normal market, for houses that are under, let's say, under $175,000 in Jackson County, I'm not including all of Ashland, because it's always a little more expensive here, because it's a beautiful place to live. I mean, who wouldn't want to live in Ashland? But you're going to see multiple offers if they're under $140,000. So if you've got a first-time home buyer who wants to keep their total payments, including their principal and interest, their taxes, their mortgage insurance, and their fire insurance, under $1,000, which is about $145,000 purchase price, you may see multiple offers on those that are cleaned up and ready to go. That would finance, basically, because FHA is still a great loan program, as is the VA. That we're gone back to 3% conventional financing now, so even with just 3% down on conventional, you can purchase. FHA has mortgage insurance premium that stays with the loan forever. So you may want to go with conventional, thinking that your house is going to go up in value, because once you get an 80-20% ratio, you can get rid of the mortgage insurance premium.
Claudette Moore is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. She is a broker with Coldwell Banker Pro West Real Estate in Medford. We're talking about the rebound of the real estate market, particularly in the Rogue Valley. If you have stories from your own region, chime in. Let's hear your comments about what's going on in your part of the world, or ask questions of Claudette and what her findings are here. Join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 around the region, 800-838-3760. Email is jx@jeffnet.org. So FHA, this is Federal Housing Administration.
Yes.
Purchasing
which
program.
Is a government-guaranteed loan, and FHA is going to make sure that the structure is fundamentally sound. They don't want dry rot. They want a roof that's going to last 3 to 5 years. No bare paint, no torn carpet, no torn vinyl. So it's basically structurally sound. They don't care if it is orange shag carpet as long as there's no holes in it. So FHA is a great loan program, particularly for first-time homebuyers.
That was the question. Was who is FHA generally for?
It's particularly for first-time homebuyers. It's also really, really good because their requirement for a credit score is about 640. So they're a little more forgiving if you've had foreclosure or a short sale or bankruptcy. You know, I mean, life just happened to so many, many, many people.
Generally, a good credit score is generally 700-something?
About 700. Uh-huh. Yeah. I think the top you can go is like 850.
All right. So 640 is a little below average.
A little low. You've had some issues. But as long as you don't have any active collections going on, you're probably going to be able to buy a house.
Not bad. And, of course, the real estate, the issue is not just the movement of the products and the prices of those, but also what you're going to pay for the money. And and money is still pretty cheap out there. So you mentioned what are the interest rates that are being charged right now for real estate loans?
Okay. I pulled this up this morning off of the Internet, and a 30-year fixed rate, this is an FHA loan, is 3.25. So the government still wants people to own their own homes. At 3.25% interest, and I just did a $150,000 loan value. You can put down as much as you want. At 3.25, your principal and interest portion is only $664 a month. Mm-hmm. You would still have taxes and mortgage insurance on top of that. If you go to 4.25, which is as high as FHA's gotten in the past 52 weeks, your payment's $854. So it's going to go up 1%. It's going to go up $120 a month. That's a lot for a family of
four. You said $854 at 4.25?
$854 at 4.25.
And at $664 at 3.25?
$664 at 3.25.
Okay. So that's a significant boost.
It's a bunch. And then if it goes to 5%, and if anybody's been around in real estate for any length of time, anything really below 6 or 7% is just a fabulous interest rate. Mm-hmm. But let's look at the difference of 5%. Interest rate, your payments are going to jump to $922. They're going to go up $258 a month from where they are right now.
And this is without insurance and taxes.
That's without insurance and taxes. Just principal and interest. No taxes, no insurance.
So, and this is at 5% flat.
Yep.
Wow. So we're talking a difference of almost $300 a month.
$258 a month.
Based on just not even a 2 full percentage points.
Right. Right. So it's huge. It's huge. So if you're thinking about buying or selling and you want to wait until later in the year, the experts, quote unquote, you can't see my little finger parens here, my air parens, say that the interest rates are going to have to go up sometime this year. So I say, you know, let's go now. Don't wait to see if your house is going to be worth more in 6 months. It could be worth a little bit more. But the interest rates go up that much, you're going to lose out on your buyers. Their buying power is going to go down. And just another point of interest is this last year, only 3% or 5% of the homes that sold were short sales, which is way lower than where we were 4 and 5 years ago. And about 8% were REO. REO is real estate owned by banks. Mm-hmm. So that's your Fannie Mae's or your Freddie Mac's or Wells Fargo or Bank of America. Those are the houses they foreclosed on and now own. They're pricing them very competitively. And if you look in the paper, you're going to see a lot of the notice of share sales, which are when they put them on the county steps and they sell them at a sheriff sale, which gives the original buyer time to come back and make up the difference. Most of them don't. Most of these are going back to the banks. Then the banks have anywhere from 3 to 6 months, and they'll be putting them back on the market. So if we continue to see an 8% increase in property values, that would be great, because once these bank-owned properties do start hitting the market, that does can affect the price.
Have they been held back? I mean, I've noticed a fair number of homes that seem to sit vacant for quite some time, and I get the sense, and the story you hear is that they've been held back because it's just not worth it to the bank to put them out there for sale at this point.
Well, I think what happened with a lot of the first foreclosures is the banks did some foreclosures that they didn't follow all the right steps and procedures, and it resulted in lawsuits. So then the banks really, really, really cleaned up their process to foreclose. That took longer, and they went to judicial foreclosures, which took even longer. So it's not that they were holding that I can see, at least not in Southern Oregon, that they were holding properties back because they didn't want to glut the market. They were holding properties back to make sure that they really did truly own these properties and they went through the proper steps.
To make sure that they did, in fact, have title to them.
Yes, and we do double-check that on all bank-owned properties with our title companies.
Always a good thing to know. Claudette Moore is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, a real estate broker with Coldwell Banker Pro West in Medford. We're talking about the rebound in the real estate market in the Rogue Valley in specific. Join us at 800-838-3760 around the region, 800-838-3760. Email is jx@jeffnet.org. Some of these values on the charts that came in for 24. These are Southern Oregon figures, what is it? Southern Oregon MLS, I guess, is the source of all this. First of all, is there a difference between a real estate agent and a realtor?
No, or a broker. We're all brokers now, too.
Everybody's brokers?
Everybody's broker. Everybody's a real estate agent. I go by real estate agent because people know what they are. They just call me. There's also principal brokers. And if you're a principal broker, then you can manage other agents or brokers underneath you. So like at my office, Kim Hurley is our principal broker. He's our managing broker. So he tries to handle all 45 of us, which is fun. You got all these type A personalities running around going,
ah! All right. So some of these values, for example, though, looking in particular, let's start with talent where I live. And the 5-year change is just a 1.2% boost in value. But the 1-year change, 12.7%. That's a bit of a shooting up there.
And look at the number sold, 14. So you're not using a huge sampling.
All right, so a small sample makes for a big change in percentages.
Yeah.
Okay. So then let's talk about Ashland then, which seems to defy gravity all the time. Real estate prices in Ashland ever come down? It's one of the three most expensive real estate markets in the state of Oregon.
I think probably a little bit, but not noticeably. It was just sitting on solid gold. So this is rock solid, right, where we're sitting here in Ashland.
So a 5-year change, if we're talking about from 2010, when things were just beginning to turn around to now, it's still a 10.3% change in pricing in the positive.
Yep.
So the median home price in Ashland for 2014 still sits at $362,000.
Sure.
Where, for example, in the next town over in Talent, it's $205,000. It's a huge difference.
And then it comes down a little to Phoenix, and then you get Southwest Medford, and then you get East Medford. And so you've got a lot of changes in there.
So let's see where the greatest movement is. In East Medford, it looks like the greatest number.
Came up 27%. And, of course, Ashland came up 38%.
And we're talking about in numbers.
The five-year change, yeah.
That's Medford.
In the pricing right over here. Yeah, pricing, okay. Five-year change. Ashland came up 38%.
Oh, that's the new home sales. I was looking at the existing home sales.
Okay. Oh, sorry.
I was up there. All right. So existing home sales, but 656 in East Medford. So that's the biggest sold in all these categories for 2014.
Yes.
All right.
We were very glad. And we're seeing where new construction starts. It's not reflected as much in these numbers as we are seeing. And so that's usually when you see new construction start, Jeffrey, it's because we're running out of existing used inventory. Mm-hmm. Or people are now able to say, you know, I really want this and I will pay to have it built because this is what I want. Instead of, this is what I could afford, this is what I'm going to take, okay, fine. So we're seeing that positive attitude from buyers. Some people aren't having to sell first in order to buy, which takes a lot of pressure off of us. I just love it when I have to get people moved from one house to another, and I've got 3 days to make sure everything comes together. One of these days they're going to be in my backyard. I know they are.
The whole process of getting new homes built, the story certainly that was circulating around before the recession was that homes were getting built on spec. They were getting built without prospective buyers in hand. Is that
yes?
Is there greater reluctance to do that now?
A little bit, but I'm seeing it more and more. We have a subdivision, Cobble Banker subdivision up there in East Medford. And, Okay. And so they're building more. They built a bunch of them on spec, but now they're doing them custom.
All right, let's take a call. Here's Paul in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking real estate with Claudette Moore.
Claudette, how is Josephine County doing in comparison to Jackson County? And what are the forces that are driving that? I'll take my answer off the air.
All right. Thanks for that, Paul. Appreciate it.
So I go ahead and...
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. We have the Josephine statistics here, too. And in Grants Pass, the pricing increase has gone up 7.2% in value of the properties in Josephine County. And the same thing on 18% countywide on new homes have gone up. The medium price in Jackson County, Josephine County distress sales, there was still only 22 short sales, which was 4.5%, which is a little bit lower than Jackson County. Mm-hmm. So, and I'd brought my nephew with me, who's a realtor also, and he primarily works Josephine County. So he could probably, I know he's been very busy, so he could probably give you a little better answer.
And I see the pricing, though, is that $177,000 basically countywide for existing home sales versus median price in Jackson County of $208,000 or $209,000 roughly. So a bit of a difference there. Not terribly surprising, given that Ashland is part of the picture in Jackson County.
And Jacksonville. So. Jacksonville is another one that's just, you know, saw some slumps during the recession, but not as much as the rest of the county. So,
but in both counties, things are certainly picking up.
Yeah.
All right. Claudette Moore has been our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, broker with Coldwell Banker Pro West Real Estate. Claudette, good to see you once again. Thanks for coming in.
Good to see you, Jeffrey.